Well, you can tell people that you heard a thundering sermon this morning. Our text is going to be James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27. If you want to open your Bibles up there, the passage will also be on the screen. James 1, 22 through 27. Our brother James writes there, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we open up the word together today, it's our prayer that it will make its home in our heart so that we can be the kind of people that you have called us to be. Specifically today, we thank you for your servant James and the words that he has written that are alive and active and continue to speak even to us today. Bless this time as we share your word together. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we remember that James is the brother of Jesus. And what I think we'll notice as we continue to work through this sermon series is that James, in fact, sounds a lot like Jesus. There have been some theologians over the years, and you've probably heard this, may be familiar with some of what they've said about the book of James. For many years, there were several that tried to get it out of the canon. They didn't believe that it should be included in the Bible. Martin Luther is the most notable of those theologians that said, "There's no place for James in our scriptures. It hardly talks about Jesus." But we know the truth of the matter as we studied the book of James. It may not mention the word Jesus or Christ too often, but almost in every verse, it's calling us to live a life that looks like Jesus' life. It may not mention the name, but it calls us to a life like his. We see it in almost every verse. So we reflect on Jesus' words at the close of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. The kids here can sing the song based on this passage, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And so the wise man is the one that takes the teachings of Jesus and puts them into practice. It's the foolish man that hears the words of the Christ and does nothing about those words. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that the wise man is like the one who built his house on the rock. It had a sturdy foundation, so when the winds and the rains came, like what's going on now, that house stood firm. But the foolish man, with his house built on the sand, when the rains and the storms came, that house went splat, right? We know the song. But we need to take note of this from this passage. When we put Jesus' teaching into practice, we set a solid foundation for our life. Don't miss those words. Into practice, when the words are lived out, it's not just about knowing the words or having the Sermon on the Mount memorized, but it's in fact about living out the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus calls us, and we're going to make up another word. Jesus calls us to a verbful life, a verbful faith, a life that is lived out, that serves, that demonstrates compassion, that cares, that gives. That's what Jesus calls us to, a life that is lived verbfully, full of verbs. And James, like his brother, calls us to the same kind of thing. And so let's unpack James chapter 1, starting at verse 22. James says, "Do not merely listen to the word." Sound familiar? And the word there, let's stop there for just a second. When James says the word at that point, he is primarily talking about the proclamation of the gospel, namely the teachings of Jesus Christ that at this point would have been passed on orally. So that word, and also the Old Testament. And so the life of Jesus, which is a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and Jesus' teachings themselves. That's what he would have been talking about, the word. He wouldn't have been talking about the word like we have it in the Bible at this point. It wasn't around yet, not in this form. But the teachings were being passed on orally at this time. So James says, "Do not merely listen to the word, the Old Testament, and the gospel, and so deceive yourselves. Instead, do what it says." Now, why would these people have been deceived if they would have simply listened to the word? It may have been that by listening to the word, perhaps in a home setting or with the Christian assembly, simply by being present, it would have demonstrated piety and being devout. But James says, just because you have this demonstration of devotion or piety, that is not what makes you faithful. As a matter of fact, what makes you faithful is living out the word. So if you think you're faithful just because you're showing up, you're deceiving yourself. You're not telling yourself the truth. James says, what you're to do is take those words and, like the wise man in Matthew 7, put them into practice. Verse 23, "Now, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Right? This is ridiculous. If you look in the mirror and you walk away, even if you want to forget what you look like at that point, it's hard to do that, right? I think that's primarily James' point, is when you look in the mirror, you're going to remember what you look like. When you go to the Word, when you hear the teachings of Jesus, you're going to understand that the Word is calling you to do something, to act, to live it out. If you hear the Word, if you're continually hearing preaching and teaching about Jesus, and you have no transformation, no life change, that's crazy. It doesn't work that way. It calls you to action. It calls you to transformation. Verse 25, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So James says the perfect law here. Now, the perfect law that gives freedom. That seems like a contradiction in terms right there, a law that gives freedom. But if we think about the teachings and message of Jesus, they pave the way to be released from the bondage of sin and death that comes through the power of Satan and the word and the world. And so when one lives out the teachings of Jesus and gives their life to the teaching of Jesus, they find themselves freed from bondage of sin. And so it's the perfect law that gives freedom. It frees you up to live without the shackles of the world on you. Not to mention that, so you find freedom in this life that Jesus calls you to, but you also will find blessing in that life. What do we mean by blessing there? Well, the freedom that James has already mentioned, hope, joy, good favor with others, and solidarity with other Christians. All of those are blessings. And of course, the main blessing of all of this is eternal life, right? Life in the presence of God in heaven forever. So there are blessings in not just listening to the word, but living it out, putting it into practice. How do we put it into practice? James gives some practical ideas here, right? 26 and 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Stop there for just a moment. So James is going to say quite a bit about our speech in this letter. There is a certain way that we are to talk, and it reminds us again of Jesus' words. Out of the overflow of the heart, blank, 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 the mouth speaks, right? So James is going to say there is a certain way that you should talk. As a matter of fact, you should keep a tight rein on your tongue. He says, but for those that don't, what do? Deceive themselves. Their religion is worthless. Again, why deception? They deceive themselves because they have failed to see the importance of careful speech. It's on almost every page of Scripture. Our speech reflects our heart. God calls us to have a heart that's set on Him. So if your speech is in the wrong, if it's hurtful or hateful or even angry, you're deceiving yourself. You're not allowing the Word to transform you, to change you. He continues on, verse 27, religion that a God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. When I read this, I couldn't help but think about Stuart Heater, right? He's taken a family member of his, great niece, I believe, named Haley. And Stuart has said, in a time of difficulty, all kinds of stress in little Haley's life, although she's just a little baby, he has stepped up and said, I will take on the responsibility of raising Haley. That is James 1:27 in practice. And I love how the church has surrounded Stuart with love and care in this process. But I so appreciate the example of selflessness, of living out the teachings of Jesus that Stuart has presented to us. Orphans and widows, oftentimes in that society, and perhaps even in our society today, can become invisible really quickly, right? Pushed to the margins of society. James says a faith that is real, a faith that is patterned after that of Jesus Christ, sees the invisible people and steps out and cares for them. As a matter of fact, true religion, true devotion is a love that has flesh on it, that cares, that meets the needs of those around us. And he says, keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We know that the world is toxic in so many ways. So much that we see in our culture today, and we'll go into some specifics here in just a moment, so much in our culture today goes against the grain of the goodness and love of God. And so we're reminded of that old phrase, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? And so we act, we serve, we love, we care, we give. And I believe by doing all of those things, like looking after widows and orphans, that's one way in which we keep ourselves from the toxicity of the world. I'm not going to say that word again. I couldn't. I can't believe it came out. Toxicity. That may not even be a word, but anyways. So the world is toxic, and one of the ways that we keep ourselves in the toxic world is to live out our faith. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, but hands that are busy in service are incredible instruments for the goodness of God. Once again, these words may remind us of another thing that James' brother Jesus said. Remember Matthew 25, 31 through 46? We have sort of this judgment scene, right? Let's read this passage. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when I, the Messiah, shall come in my glory, and all the angels with me, then I shall sit upon my throne of glory, and all the nations shall be gathered before me, and I will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and place the sheep at my right hand and the goats at my left. Then I, the king, shall say to those at my right, come, blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me water. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your homes. Naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, and you visited me. You notice the verbs there? You fed me. You gave me something to drink. You invited me into your home. You clothed me. Lots of verbs. 37. Then these righteous ones will reply, sir, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you anything to drink? Or a stranger and help you, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And I, the king, will tell them, when you did it to the least of these my brothers, you were doing it for me. Then I will turn to those on my left and say, away, away from me, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you wouldn't feed me, thirsty and you wouldn't give me anything to drink, a stranger and you refused hospitality. Naked, and you wouldn't clothe me, sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And I will answer, when you refused to help the least of my brothers, you were refusing to help me, excuse me, and they shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. So the judgment that we see here in Matthew 25, it's based on action. Feeding, clothing, giving water to someone, visiting someone. Christianity, it should be clear to us from this judgment scene, Christianity is to be full of verbs, full of action. And we are blessed to be part of a verb full church. So many folks have prepared meals for families that were in need. Countless baby showers have been thrown for those who have been expecting babies. Wedding showers have been given for those who are about to get married. Several have helped families move recently, and that is a wonderful service, believe me. There are so many here who have visited those who are kept up in home or in the hospital. I know many here who have been praying for those who have all kinds of needs, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional. Every Wednesday night, so many people are fed through our food pantry. People are praying for our missionaries. People are working on our building on the inside and the outside. There are many of our members that are studying with folks through the World Bible School program. Gas vouchers are given out to those who are in need. Rides have been given to and from our church services. Communion trays have been prepared and cleaned up. We have people right now running our PowerPoint and our sound. Though many even this morning have taught Bible classes or served in the nursery or helped with Children's Bible Hour. There are people who maintain our website. There are those that have made specific attempts to reach out to visitors. There are those who are caring for their aging parents at this time, or their young children and their teenagers. There are those that volunteer to assist with our youth ministry. We could go on and on. Notice the verbs. We are blessed to be part of a verb-full church. Remember, at the end, at least what we see in Matthew 25, when we come to the end of our days, our desire is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not to hear well said, good and faithful servant, well analyzed, well criticized, well studied, well done, good and faithful servant. Perhaps we need less Bible studies and more Bible doings, living out our faith. Put it into practice. Do you have a verbful faith? As a church, do we have a verbal collective faith? As we close up, I want to share two thoughts. Sorry, this is kind of an inside joke, but a lot of times when I do 2 points, I do this. And so I'm going to start doing this for 2 points because I realized I was on a regular basis doing the hook 'em horns. And so I'm going to do two. I'm going to have 2 points, okay? Two thoughts. So let's reflect on the South Carolina events of this last week. Another demonstration of the hurt and brokenness of the world. We think that race issues are behind us, or bigotry is behind us. We think that this idea of equality is just the way of life in our world today. But as we watch the news and we reflect on the situations of our world, and there have been several lately, we are reminded that we live in a broken, hostile world. And so, all the more, all of us are to be reminded that we are to live out a faith that is full of verbs. And so we share, we give, we listen, we love, we appreciate, we connect. We live out a verbal faith in a very broken world. And may the church lead the way in demonstrating love, care, and compassion. I'm going to say that again. May the church lead the way in demonstrating love, care, and compassion. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. It's Father's Day today. We appreciate our fathers so much. The fathers that have made the most impact on me. I mean, I just have my dad, but other fathers that I've watched as they've raised their children, those that have made the biggest impact have been those who have not only said the right things, but maybe more importantly, who have done the right things, who have shown love and care and attention to their children. So fathers, remember that it's so much more about what you do than it is what you say. So let's all of us together live out a verbful life. In the words of Jesus, let's put his teachings into practice. In the words of James, simply do what it says. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayer of this assembly, as we say on a regular basis, we would love to pray with you or for you. Here in just a moment, Jim's going to lead us in another song. You can come down here to the front, and we'd be so glad to just continue to share life with you. Also want you to be aware there will be some shepherds up here in front. You can share with them what's on your heart as well. And there will also be shepherds at the end of the service. They'll be back at the back of the auditorium, and you can meet with them after our service as well. They are here to help and to care. If there's anybody here today that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, we would love to witness you make that wonderful decision today. So whatever need that you have, you can come now as we stand and worship God.